So, Parshas Kisavai begins with the Parsha of Bikurim. That when the pasuk says, "V'lakachta mereshis kol pri adama asher tavi me'artzecha," you should take the first of the fruit of the ground that you bring from your land, and a person should bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says, "Avasa la'kayin asher yeh b'yom lahem," you should come to the kayin. "V'yamarta elav," you should say to him, "Higadati ayem l'Hashem alekecha," I have told Hashem today, "Kivasi ala oretz ashenish b'Hashem la'viseinu l'soslanu," that I came to the land that Hashem promised to our forefathers to give to us. So Rashi says on the pasuk, "V'yamarta elav," you shall say to him, says Rashi, "She'incha kafui toivin," you should say that you're not an ingrate. That's how we usually interpret the words "she'incha kafui toivin." You're not a kafui toivin. You're not an ingrate. So all this forum derived from this Rashi that the whole mitzvah of Bikurim is the concept of hakaras atoiv, is recognizing the good, being grateful for the good. So we therefore bring, since Hashem has given us fruit, we bring some of it to Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash. So I'd like to understand why this term of being grateful is called Hakaras HaToy. Why is it called Hakaras HaToy? Means recognizing the good. As if there would be a way, you know, to not recognize the good. But this person recognizes the good. Why isn't being grateful, why isn't that called Hachzaras HaToiv, returning the good? Why is it called Hakaras HaToiv, recognizing the good? The pasuk continues to say that the person should read the Parsha of Bikurim. Anisa v'amarta lefnei Hashem alekecha. The person should lift his voice and say before Hashem, Aram Yaved Avi, and that the love on Aram, he wanted to destroy Yaakov Avinu, and he went down to Mitzrayim. And basically, the person Mamash has to say the whole Haggadah Shel Pesach. The whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we went down to Mitzrayim, and the Egyptians afflicted us, and they gave us hard labor, and we called out to Hashem, and Hashem listened to us, and He took us out of Mitzrayim. What is the connection? What does this have anything to do with Bikurim? We have many mitzvahs. Almost all the mitzvahs are Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, our remembrance to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why is it that specifically by this mitzvah Bikurim, the person Mamish has to read the entire parsha and to bring out the whole story of Mitzrayim? What is the connection between this and Bikurim? In the Baal HaTurim here, in the Parsha of Bikurim, the Baal HaTurim mentions, the Baal HaTurim points out that the word for basket that is used in this week's Parsha, in the Parsha of Bikurim, is tena. V'lokach ha-koin ha-tena mi-yadecha. That's a word that's used for basket. The ordinary word for basket that's usually used in the Torah is sal. Samach Lamed. So the Baal HaTurim points out that in the entire Parsha of Bikurim, there is no Samach. That the Torah deliberately omitted Samach, the letter Samach, from the Parsha of Bikurim. And that's why the Torah used the word Tena instead of the ordinary word Sal, because the Torah wanted to omit the letter Samach. So that obviously needs understanding. What is what does the letter Samech represent that doesn't belong here in the Parsha of Bikurim? And interestingly enough, a couple in Parshas Ki Savai, we have another Parsha later on, following Revi, where Hashem says that when we go through the Yarden, we should erect big rocks, and we should plaster them with plaster, and we should write upon them all the words of the Torah. The pasuk continues to say we should write it in 70 languages. The Torah should be written in 70 languages on these rocks as soon as we pass over the Yarden. So there, the Baal HaTurim points out that the usual word that is used in the Torah for the word for plaster is Sid, which is Samach Yud Dalet. But if you look into this week's Parsha, Sid is written with a Sin instead of a Samach. So once again, the Baal HaTurim says that this is deliberate. The Torah deliberately wrote Sid with a Sin instead of a Samach, because the Torah wanted to omit a Samach from this Parsha as well. For the Parsha of the Avonim, the Parsha of the rocks, the letter Samach is omitted. There is no Samach in the entire Parsha. So once again, we need to understand, what does the letter Samach represent, and why is it omitted once again from this Parsha? As I mentioned before, we only have about 10 days left to Chodesh Elul, and we need to know what our Avoda needs to be. So, I think we could understand all of this based on a word I once heard from my brother Mentzion. He said it over from, I believe, one of the Talmid of Baal Shem. On a Medrash, where in Parshas Bereishis, where Hashem asks Adam HaRishon, Hamino Eitz Asher Tzivisicha Levilti Achol Memenu Achalta, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? So the Medrash says that Adam HaRishon responded to Hashem's question. Adam HaRishon answered, Achalti Va'Eichel Oid, I ate and I'll eat more. Now, that's what the Medrash says. That's what Adam HaRishon answered. So it's a Pella. It's wondrous the Medrash should say such a thing, something that's not mentioned in the Torah, number one. Where would the Medrash derive this from, that Avram Avinu, that Adam HaRishon would have the audacity, the chutzpah, to say to Hashem, Achalti, I ate v'oichel oid, and I'll eat more? And since the words of the Medrash are definitely true, how can Adam HaRishon, Yetzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's own handiwork, how can Adam HaRishon have the chutzpah to say, Achalti v'oichel oid, I ate and I'll eat more? So the answer is that when a person does an Avera, and the person accepts responsibility for doing the Avera, and the person accepts upon oneself never to do it again, it's very possible that the person's resolution is sincere, because the person accepted responsibility for their actions. However, as long as the person blames others or blames circumstances for their actions instead of taking responsibility, it is guaranteed that the Avera will repeat itself. Because as long as the person does not take full responsibility for what they have done, the habit will continue to repeat itself. When Hashem asked Adam HaRishon, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Adam HaRishon answered, Ha'isha shenosato imadi hinosan li min ha'etz v'oichal. It wasn't my fault. It was my wife's fault. My wife made me eat it. So the Medrash wants to tell us what lies in that response. What lies in that response is achalti v'oicholoid. What that response meant is, I ate and I will eat again. Since he did not accept responsibility, he blamed it on Chava. What Adam HaRishon was essentially saying was, I ate and I will eat again. Because someone who does not accept responsibility will repeat it again. Now, the avoda of a yid is to find the is to find goodness in every situation that a yid is. Now, what is goodness? David HaMelech says, "Kirvas Elokim li toiv." Goodness is closeness to Hashem. That's what toiv is. And every yid, no matter where they are, no matter how low a yid has fallen or how far a yid has drifted, a yid has to be able to find kirvas elokim wherever they are. A person has to be able to embrace closeness to Hashem wherever they are. Tonight is the Yortzeit of the Zayde Ramatala. Ramatala Steifler. Ramatala writes in the Sefer Peleoyetz that if a person has done an Avera and the person feels that they have fallen very low, so the person should say to themselves that the Tachlis of the Bria, the whole purpose of creation was that Hashem wanted a dira b'tachtoinim. Hashem wanted a dwelling place among the low. That's why Hashem created this lowly world. He wanted a dwelling place among the low. Says Ramatala, Yid should realize that if the Yid does tshuva wherever they at where they are right now, in that lowly place, they are bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam into a new element where the Ribbono Shel Olam might have never been. They are bringing out the purpose of creation, bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam into Tachtoinim, into a lowly place where the Ribbono Shel Olam might have never been before. And by the person being in that lowly place and doing tshuva where they are, they're actually fulfilling the purpose of creation. The person has to be able to find kirvas elokim, closeness to Hashem, wherever the person is, in every situation. And that is, and kirvas elokim is accomplished by doing tshuva. Kirvas elokim is not accomplished by blaming others. Blaming others means achalti v'oicholoid. It means distancing oneself even further. So, if you look into the Rashi on the pasuk where Adam HaRishon blames Chava and he says, "Ha'isha shenosatu imadi, he nosna li min ha'etz." When Adam HaRishon blames Chava and says to Hashem, "She made me sin," says Rashi, "Kan kofar b'toiva." Here he denied the good. Now literally we understand this as, instead of thanking Hashem for Chava, he was blaming Hashem for Chava. But in a deeper sense, what Rashi is telling us here is that what was expected of Adam HaRishon, when Hashem asked him, did you eat from the tree? what was expected of Adam Rishon was to look for Kirvas Alekim, to look for the toiv in his situation, and to say, Rabbeinu Shalom, I sinned, Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati, I want to return to you. But he didn't. He wasn't makir toiv. He didn't recognize the good in his situation. That's what hakaras hatoiv is. Hakaras hatoiv is realizing the good, recognizing the good in every situation, recognizing the kirvas elokim that I can have where I am right now. Kirvas elokim li toiv. Adam Rishon didn't take advantage of the toiv in his situation. He was kafar betoiv. He denied the good. He denied himself of the good by blaming it on Chava. So therefore, the Torah HaKadosha tells us, when you have your first fruit, don't do what Adam HaRishon did with his first fruit. When you have your first fruit, take it to the Beis HaMikdash and tell the Rabbeinu Shel Olam she'eincha kafui toive. Tell the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that you are not denying the good. You are looking for the good. You're looking for kirvas aleikim wherever you are. That's why you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash. You're looking for closeness to Hashem. Now, the perfect example for finding the kirvas aleikim in the lowest of levels is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim had fallen to Memtes Sharei Tumah. And yet, despite the fact that they were so low, they were able to find the Kirvas Alekim on the low level that they were on. And they were able to have a Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were able to rise and to raise themselves to a level to be Mekablei HaTorah and to eventually enter Eretz Yisrael. A perfect example of a person finding the Kirvas Alekim in the lowest levels, taking advantage of the closeness to Hashem that Hashem wants us to have, despite the fact that we have fallen to low levels. It's the perfect example of when taking advantage of Kirvas Alekim, that a person can actually reach Kirvas Alekim. So therefore, the person bringing Bikurim, which is the person that is being misaken the chait of Adam HaRishon, the person is bringing Reishis Pri Adama, the first fruit, and saying that he's not Kofi Toive. He realizes the importance and the advantage and the opportunity of Kirvas Alekim. So tell the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we went down and they afflicted us and we fell to Memtes Sharei Tumah, and then Hashem took us out because we were willing to run into the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's embrace, and he took us to the Eretz Zoaz Chalav Advash. The Gemara in Masechtas Brachos Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara asks, why is there a no nun in Asherah? If you look through the Asherah Yeshvei Beisachah, everything, every pasuk begins, it goes in the order of the Aleph Beis. The only letter that's missing is a nun. Says the Gemara, because the nun represents the downfall of Bnei Yisrael. There's a pasuk in Amos that says, "Nafla v'lay soysif kum besugas Yisrael." It's a pasuk that talks about the downfall of an Yisrael. So the word "nafla," they have fallen, begins with a nun. So David HaMelech omitted the nun. Says the Gemara, Aval Pikain, nevertheless, Chazar v'samuchan v'ruach ha-kodesh. David HaMelech supported the fallers. In the next pasuk, it says, Soimeich Hashem l'chol ha-noiflim. Hashem supports all of those that fall. And according to what we're saying, the pasuk, the deeper meaning of the pasuk is that finding the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is our support after we have fallen. Soimeich Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is our support l'chol ha-noiflim for those who fall. So the letter Samach represents the Rabbeinu Shel Olam supporting us after we have fallen. And the way that Rabbeinu Shel Olam supports us is by embracing us when we seek Him, no matter how far we have fallen. That's what the letter Samach represents. So since the entire parsha of Bikurim, every other parsha in the Torah needs a samach. Every other parsha in the Torah we need a samach to tell us that even if you have fallen and you didn't listen to this mitzvah, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is still there to support you. But the entire parsha of Bikurim is all about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam supporting us, about falling to the lowest of levels, and being makir toive, and recognizing the good wherever we are, recognizing the kirvas alekim, no matter what situation we're in. It's unnecessary for there to be a samach in the parsha of Bikurim. The next parsha, Hashem has us writing the Torah on rocks as we enter Eretz Yisrael. The message is, Chazal tell us in Masechtas Kiddushin, Masechtas Brachas, that the Yetzer Hara is called Evan. Yetzer Hara is called a stone. Having us write the Torah on the Avonim is teaching us that even when you have followed the Yetzer Hara, the Torah HaKadosha, which is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is there to support you, even when you hit rock bottom. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is ready to, is there waiting for you, waiting to embrace you. As long as you realize the kirvas alekim that you can have by doing tshuva in that lowly place. And that's why specifically it should be written in 70 languages, even for the Jew that has drifted so far that they don't understand Lashon HaKodesh anymore. It should be written in every language. I want every Jew, no matter how far they have drifted, to be able to understand this message. That although they have embraced the rock, that they can still embrace the Rabbeinu Shel Olam if they seek Him wherever they are. So once again, in this parsha, it's unnecessary for there to be a samach, because the whole parsha is about the samach. The whole parsha is about Hashem supporting the fallen. At the end of the David Hashem Oiri, we say, Lule hemanti lirois betuv Hashem ve'eretz chayim. Lule is oisius elul. The avoid of chedesh elul is hemanti lirois betuv Hashem. Is that I should have emuna to see the goodness of Hashem wherever I am. That is our avoid. No matter how far a yid is, a yid needs to realize that as long as they accept responsibility and do tshuva, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is awaiting to embrace each and every yid. So the Eibush to help them that for the remainder, whatever we have left of Chodesh Elul, we should take the opportunity to embrace the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, to find the kirvas alekim, to find the closeness of Hashem wherever we are, by doing tshuva, by raising ourselves And that zchus will all be zoyche to ksiv v'chsim v'toyve and agit ke ben shtiur to shnas geula v'yeshua v'yas Mashiach tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu amen.